Keanu Reeves, Brie Larson, Benedict Cumberbatch, John Hamm, Tessa Thompson, John Legend, Rashida Jones and Matthew McConaughey all star as themselves in Between Two Ferns, the movie, which is now streaming on Netflix. Our RTE reporter A.B. Philbin Bowman is here to tell me more. The film is one thing, A.B., but I suppose really we have to go back to what Between Two Ferns is or was before it was ever a movie. How did it start out?
So it started out, Sean, as a sketch on a comedy pilot that didn't get picked up. And the premise of the sketch was Zach Galifianakis interviews a celebrity really, really badly. So it's not a million miles from, you might remember back, Mrs. Merton, who famously asked Debbie McGee, so Debbie McGee, what first attracted you to the millionaire Paul Daniels? Or there's a guy called Dennis Pennis, whose character who used to run around and ask celebrities annoying questions like, how come you're not funny anymore? Or whatever it was. And it's that sort of idea of very awkward comedy, a really bad interview. And as I say, it was on this pilot that did not get picked up, but it was uploaded then to the website Funny or Die, and people liked it. And it was very short, very punchy. He'd get a big celebrity. Of course, it's Zach Galifianakis is the guy from the Hangover movies, the guy with the beard. One of the big ones was Bradley Cooper, his co-star in that movie. And big names. I mean, like President Obama at some point to talk to him when she was running for President, Hillary Clinton. We actually hear a bit of that now. And you'll get a sense here of that kind of awkward style of interview that he does.
But this is with Hillary Clinton.
As secretary, how many words per minute could you type? And how does President Obama like his coffee? Like himself? Weak?
You know, Zach, those are really out-of-date questions. You need to get out more.
What happens if you become pregnant? Are we going to be stuck with Tim Kaine for 9 months? How does this work?
I could send you some pamphlets that might help you understand.
First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you were against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me. Like the hip-hop group.
Don't tell me what to say.
Fine, lose. Country goes to shit. Let's talk about Trump.
Let's.
When you see how well it works for Donald Trump, do you ever think to yourself, oh, maybe I should be more racist?
Zach Galifianakis as the interviewer there in Between Two Ferns. By the way, it's Between Two Ferns because that's the set.
Literally, it's a really bad, it's a sort of a mock-up of like a public service TV show. So really bad public television in America where there's literally a black backdrop and a fern on one side, a fern on the other. And that's literally the premise of the show, Between Two Ferns. And it's really bad interviewing.
But you get a sense of it there. Yeah,
it's naughty.
Yeah, it's really bad interviewing, but it also kind of... It hits hard.
His whole point is he'll ask something that actually really gets it under
very
the
close
skin.
To
yeah, absolutely.
Real.
He had another line there in that where he said, when he went to see Donald Trump's wedding, which of course Hillary Clinton did, you know, did he write his own vows? And did Michelle Obama write Melania's? Because Melania had just plagiarized Michelle Obama's speech. And there were all these little digs that he's obviously a smart guy. He knows what he's doing. But the sort of format of it is, this is so bad it's good type of thing.
How long were those interviews in those original?
They're 3 or 4 minutes. And the thing about that is, all it needs is one or two moments of magic for people to tweet it and go, watch this, it's worth 3 minutes of your time, it's worth 3 minutes of your time, and they go totally viral. And even just a 40-second clip or whatever, people go, oh my god, that's great. And it has, of course, the star power of, oh my god, he's doing this to Hillary Clinton, or he's doing this to, you know,
whoever,
Benedict,
it is,
whoever happens to be. So that's the format for the short show.
And this the is film then.
So to turn it into a film, what they've basically done is, how do we fit as many of these into a movie as possible with some kind of logic? And the logic they've come up with is, okay, it's a mockumentary, it's following Zach Galifianakis, who is a struggling public service broadcaster as he tries to do these interviews, and he starts off with one with Matthew McConaughey that goes terribly, terribly wrong, and you see that at the very beginning, water starts coming out of the ceiling, it's awful, everything goes wrong, a leak turns into a flood, and then you start to follow his character as he has a challenge then to try and do 10 I think in the course of a week, and he basically goes on the road with his crew. And here's one interview he does with Keanu Reeves. This is worth listening to.
On a scale of 1 to 100, how many words do you know?
1 to 100?
Like, do you know 50 words? Do you know 75 words? Do you know 18 words? Is it frustrating to have people think of you as a complete bozo, when the truth is that you're just a man with below average intelligence? Just do one for yes and then two for no. Do you research your roles?
Yeah.
Have you ever considered researching a character that has taken acting classes?
Right now I'm acting like this is fun. How am I doing?
Keanu. But you know what's great about Keanu is this, sorry, that's a clip from the film version of Between Two Ferns.
Yeah. Zach Galifianakis. On Netflix now that we're talking about.
Yeah, and it's streaming on Netflix right now. But what I really love about Keanu Reeves, and you've seen him do this in other things, that he is not afraid to make an absolute fool out of himself. So he's clearly not a fool.
Oh, look, all the actors here, they know what they're getting themselves into. Yeah. They are playing along. That's although, you see, in a way what works about it is you're watching it, you're kind of going, wait, did Keanu Reeves sign up for this and is he now regretting that decision? Like, part of the joy of it, I think, is that you don't quite know if they're, you know, obviously they know this, what the show's going to be. They know they're going to be mocked. Mm. But do they know how bad it's going to be? And are they, when they're actually awkward, are they going, I actually don't know what to do here? Or are they completely acting? And that's not quite clear. And that I think is quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, because it's hard to work out whether it is actually scripted. Is it straightforward
precisely.
Scripting? Or whether they're
it's
actually
improvised and they're
playing
just going
off
along,
each other.
And the people are just going, oh God, that is actually something I'm sensitive about and I wish he hadn't asked that. That kind of thing.
Yeah, because that would be a real test. And if they are improvising, it's amazing what they're managing to do.
Slight, I don't want to give away the end of the film because of course I won't do that. But I will say that at the end of the film, like a lot of comedy movies, they do show you outtakes and the outtakes are almost all with the people who were doing these interviews. And I think actually seeing them crack up in the middle, actually it breaks the character, it breaks the illusion. I mean, it's funny to watch at the end, but I might have left that out because I think it actually at some level undermines that whole premise, that sense of the movie. Anyway.
But there is, so he's travelling around the country, he's doing all of these little interviews and within the film itself, some of them last a couple of minutes, four minutes, whatever, at the very outset. But there is a whole other backstory going on underneath it.
And I think this is where the film really struggles because essentially you've got the narrative arc is that Will Ferrell, Zach Galifianakis is travelling around. He has to do this for Will Ferrell, who is the head of Funny or Die, the website, and he plays a sort of demonic, slightly Bond villainy but silly character. And it's kind of a road movie meets a sort of challenge movie. He has to get these 10, can he get them to like LA by 9 a.m, etc. But the trouble is that the character he plays, and he's on the road with his team, there's a three strong team. He's got basically an assistant who does everything for him, and then a camera person and a sound person.
Sound person is called Boom Boom.
It's called Boom Boom. Yeah, I know, it's her nickname. Yeah. And then the camera guy is called Cam. He's Cameron Cam Camden, or Camden. I can't remember. It's not a great joke. They all have two characteristics, and they don't even stay consistent to those two characters. Like the sound operators, we're told she's really annoying, and there's one scene where she's annoying, and after that they just drop that characteristic. Basically, the relationships aren't very well thought out. Even the character of Zach Galifianakis, they haven't really thought, who is this guy? What's his motivation? If you think of great mockumentaries like The Office, that works because you know the boss is awful, but no one can tell him he's awful. And you know the receptionist sort of fancies the Tim character, but she can't do anything because she's engaged and she doesn't want to break that off. And you know there's real competition between the Gareth guy and the Tim who are trying to please the boss. So all of those relationships and tensions are there. None of that work has been done here. So that the scenes with those background characters just don't really work for my money. And you can hear a scene actually where the four of them are having a drink. So Zach Galifianakis, his sound guy, his camera person, and his assistant. And you just hear how thin the characters are. It starts with Cam.
As a kid, I realized that people love to point and laugh and look at me. And I knew then I have the it factor. So I just wanted to thank you guys for helping me capitalize on that.
Hey, I want to say, when we first started on this whole trip, I found you to be annoying and hard to be around. And that hasn't changed. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
That's why it's funny, because it has changed. Yeah. I actually, you know, I think, I don't know, I kind of like you.
Wow.
Wow. Thank you, Cam.
You're welcome.
Well, I'd like to say a little something, too. Ever since my dad shot my mom and then killed himself, I felt kind of unmoored, but you've made me really feel stable and needed, so thank you so much.
What?
Oh, yeah, my dad killed my mom and then killed himself, because...
When did that happen?
A while ago. Like a month.
You didn't take any time off of work? You didn't say anything?
I'm fine.
I'd like to do a toast, if that's possible.
Yeah.
So the point Sean will make is that you heard there Carol saying, oh, you know, my father killed my mother. Now, if her character had any depth at all, that revelation would mean something. Yeah. It would have some kind of depth or resonance, or it might show something funny about her. It could be a very dark comic point, but it would mean something. And there it's just a throwaway line like, oh, this happened a month ago. I didn't even take time off work. And the implication is that working for Zach Galifianakis is so amazingly wonderful that, like, that's all she has in her life, even when something that horrific happens. And that, I think, for me, the reason I chose that clip, I don't know, it's sort of an odd one to pick, it just underlines how thin these characters are, because she's the most well-developed of the three, and literally that's as much depth as she gets, and there's not much to do with it.
I find myself watching it, just waiting, you know, thinking, yeah, let's get on with this. Can we get back to some of the interviews, please?
Sure, and that, I think, is where this falls down in comparison to, say, mockumentaries like, say, Spinal Tap. Now, I know the classic joke about mockumentary is the first question is it as good as Spinal Tap? Answer, no. This follows that trajectory. It's not as good as Spinal Tap. But if you look at something like Parks and Recreation or The Office, the US or the UK version, they really took time to flesh out the characters, and this doesn't do that. And for example, the camera person, the sound person and the assistant, they never disagree with each other. They're always against Zach Galifianakis as the, oh, come on, Zach, let's keep going kind of role. And they never actually, you know, have their own internal...
The other thing about those various... mockumentaries that you mentioned, in particular The Office when it started out in the UK, you kind of didn't know these people. And I know the first time I saw The Office, I thought, I didn't know anything about it, just came across on telly one night and I thought, is this real? Is this actually a real documentary? You're not going to do that because Zach Galifianakis is there, and you know that you wouldn't see the stars kind of putting themselves into this situation.
And you're also never in any doubt, really, that these characters are well drawn enough to be real. And also, Zach Galifianakis hasn't even put thought into, like, why am I a PBS or a public service broadcaster? He hasn't really thought of that. In a way, this reminds me of the spin-off from The Office, Life on the Road, where you see the David Brent character taken out of that office, and it didn't quite work for me because the tensions of he's a bad boss, but no one can tell him because he is the boss. That wasn't there, but I still enjoyed the film because I love that character so much. If you love the TV show, you might still enjoy this. You might still enjoy watching Zach Galifianakis for that long.
Like, realistically, when you say if you love the TV show, if you love the little snippets that you saw
precisely
online.
Yes. Now, the joy of this is that it's on Netflix, so you can either watch the entire thing. You could actually just skip through the bits of the inside.
Terrible suggestion.
And just, oh, there's John Hamm. I'll watch the little. But you could do it that way. Or you could watch the trailer, and like most comedy films now, you watch the trailer, you will see the 10 best jokes, and if you want to see more, you can watch as much more as you
feel
like.
Obviously there are several big names involved here. Yes. Who really stood out for you? I know the Keanu Reeves one that you played.
I picked out and Paul Rudd, who I think we'll play in a minute. For me, Will Ferrell struggled a bit. Now, he wasn't in the Between Two Ferns role. He was in this kind of, as I said, Bond villainy character that I just didn't think quite worked. And as I said, I did think that just putting all the outtakes at the end kind of gave away the structure and undermined the film a little bit. Because you do want to know, are they feeling humiliated? But anyway, I also think it's the kind of thing, you know, comedy generally is enjoyed with other people. There's that moment when you laugh and everyone else laughs. Maybe this is one you want to invite your friends round and maybe have a drink or two and watch it that way. Several chances to put the kettle on. Or I mean, you know, but the fact that it's on Netflix and you could, like, switch on something more satisfying like Glow or Orange is the New Black, it means you may not stay with it. Or, as I said, you might just skip through and go, I'll watch that interview. And if you do that, do check out Paul Rudd, because this is a great interview.
I read that you might quit acting and just disappear.
Where did you read that?
Right here, I wrote it down. Which do you prefer, being in Marvel movies or being in stuff that nobody has ever heard of?
Being in Marvel movies.
I mean, do you go to your acting coach and go, I've got to play a goddamn ant, what am I supposed to do?
You lost me at acting coach.
Yeah, that seems about right. What advice would you give to a young actor who wants to hide his Jewishness as well as you have?
But I've never really tried to hide my Jewishness.
I've really never tried to hide my Jewishness.
Yeah.
Jesus was Jewish, and he didn't hide it.
No, he put it out there for everybody to see. He's one of our best.
Are you practicing?
No, I'm not a practicing Jew. I perfected it.
Oh, yes. Paul Rudd there being interviewed by Zach Galifianakis in Between Two Ferns, the movie, which is now streaming on Netflix. But I presume you can find all of the original interviews very quickly. If you just put in Between Two Ferns on Google, you'll probably get a raft of them coming up there.